And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's good, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete and Nick joining you for rankings and mailbag edition for week 12. What's going on, buddy? I know we've got some big news out of Boston this morning.
Yeah, massive news. Great to be with you. I'm living large. How are you, Petey?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to rank Tuukka Rask. Let's get right to it, man. I mean, Tuukka Rask, one of the best goalies in the entire league, albeit in the later stages of his career. He, I guess, has had some mixed feelings about playing in recent years. Of course, the one postseason he left the team, but he's back on a PTO tryout. So it's exciting for fantasy, considering he's only 34% rostered at the time of the news. So two-thirds of the people out there can go hit the waiver wire and pick up your new goalie three, right, Nick?
Yeah, definitely. I think at this point in time, it's go time on Tuukka Rask. Pete, I'm curious to see when he actually plays in an NHL game now that he's taken that next step. But as a Jeremy Swayman owner, I'm still in denial. Like, I went over the numbers again just to make sure. 8-5-2, 220, a 920 save percentage. He's playing against Minnesota tonight on this Thursday as we record here. He's done everything to suggest he's an NHL goalie. So I'm really, really curious. I think you can rule out nothing in this day and age. I think there's a team out west in Canada that could use a goalie, if you know what I'm saying. And it wouldn't be Swayman, if you know what I'm saying. So I'm just going to hold for now and see what happens over the next couple of weeks, because I could foresee some musical chairs between goalies around this league right now.
Yeah, that team out west, the Edmonton Oilers, continued to drop games left and right. Unfortunately, Connor McDavid on the COVID list makes matters worse. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins goes to IR. I mean, that team is in shambles right now, putting it lightly. So I think the Edmonton Oilers, you know, there's some other teams out there that need a goalie, but nobody higher on the list than that. The other goalie in the mix is Linus Ullmark, who signed the big free agent deal. He's also been quality. That team plays well defensively this season, and both of those goalies have been efficient. I mean, they're one of the top teams in terms of team save percentage, Boston. So the prospect of Rask actually stepping in, maybe he'll be a little rusty at first. That's why he's starting with Providence, we assume. But, I mean, Tuukka Rask could go out there and put forth a 920 to 925 save percentage in his sleep if those other guys are doing it. And Swayman's been in and out of the rankings, but still a player in keeper and dynasty leagues that I think you prioritize for the long term.
Yeah, and I think obviously there's an element of risk involved in Tuukka Rask, just because it's Tuukka Rask, still 34. I mean, he's still a quality goaltender, we think. He hasn't played in quite some bit of time, but make no mistake about it. Like, I think there's an element of risk. I think obviously you're messing with the chemistry of the locker room, good or bad, and we'll see what this has in terms of an impact on the goaltending situation. I think, as you know, it situates right now, Pete, it's likely that Jeremy Swayman, because he is a waiver exempt, will go down to the American Hockey League, whether we like it or not, right, whether I as a fantasy owner like it or not. But, you know, moving forward, so assuming it's going to be Rask and Linus Ullmark, I would expect a tandem situation, much similar to what we've seen the last couple of years with Yaroslav Halak and Tuukka Rask. So if you're going to stash Rask, if you will, right now, I think you have to temper your expectations. You have to understand it's a 34-year-old Tuukka Rask, and they're going to go back and forth as much as they can on this. It's not like Rask is coming up and he's going to start 80% of the games, Pete.
True. They'll work him in for sure. And he's also coming off an injury, exactly, off-season surgery. So it's not just that he was sitting around not playing. I mean, there was a reason. On top of his uncertainty at this stage of his career, there was another reason why he wasn't playing and he was unsigned as a UFA. But yeah, that changes here. Now, when you look at the goalie rankings, I think because of the pedigree of the player and the career track record, you rank him in the top 15 and maybe just a tad behind like a Robin Lehner, Ilya Sorokin. I'd probably rather have Sorokin for the rest of the season. The Islanders have a ton of games in hand. Robin Lehner's eventually going to get a lot of his teammates back on the offensive side, also the defensive side with Alec Martinez. And then he's not healthy himself right now, so he'll get back. Vegas will be just fine. I would rather have Lehner than Rask, but it's very close. And I think with Rask, you got to slot him into the top 15 at least.
Yeah, you got to respect the legend, bottom line. And I think you just look at Boston. I think quietly, Pete, they're starting to cook the last little while as they head into Thursday night's game. They won three in a row and I believe five of the last seven, which isn't shocking. I think we all projected or expected a much better second half for this team now that they're healthy. They're getting some other guys back from the COVID list. And certainly, I think when you look at Rask, you know, no doubt in my mind, at least, like the numbers are going to be there because Boston, more times than not, is that really good defensive team. I think you look at the numbers of Allmark and Swayman, who sometimes have had some turbulent starts left and right, but the numbers have still been there. So that's my, you know, every expectation I have is that Tuukka Rask, maybe he doesn't play to the Tuukka Rask we've seen the last couple of years, but I still think he's going to have quality numbers. So yeah, I'm with you. I think he's certainly in the top 15 to start.
And one other note on the Bruins before I want to get to the other side of that matchup, because there's a ton of storylines for the Minnesota Wild now and moving forward. But right now we touched on it the previous show, but David Pastrnak is playing on a separate line, you know, from Bergeron and Marchand with Erik Haula as his center. So what are your thoughts on that? I know Pasta had a big game recently after that line change. So is this, we talk about it every year at some point or another, but could this finally be the time that quote unquote perfection line is like just broken up a little bit and spread out? Cause those guys still play together on the power play, and with Taylor Hall on the other side, it just raises the bar for that new line trio, Nick.
Well, not to spoil a game I have coming up later on in the podcast, because you know I love bringing games. We will talk about the Boston top six, but more specifically another player who's been interjected onto the top line. But having said that, I believe this is the first time that Hall and Pastrnak are playing together full time, something like that. And I just don't know how to feel when it comes to splitting up the perfection line, which, by the way, I always get bounced back on social media about that nobody calls them the perfection line, although that's all I see is people call them the perfection line, so I'm going to continue to call them that way. But nonetheless, they're studs. And at the end of the day, I think when Boston gets in a rut, which I think, guys, is inevitable, I think we see them go back to the well that we've seen them go back to 3,000 times. So I think this is just honestly a short-term look. I think long-term, they're going back to that line, Pete. It's just been the same story for the last 5, 6, 7 years. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, and Erik Haula, I love the player when he's healthy, but more times than not when he's been with some of these other teams, right? Like Florida and
he's a bottom Carolina six guy,
and Nashville. Yeah. Like he has a couple of good games in a row, goes on a heater, and then he gets injured. I hope that doesn't happen. Would I stream Haula in a deeper league? I mean, at this point, Hall's probably picked up, but yes, I would, if he's dual eligible and if you're in a face-offs league and he's putting up some points here and there, so with an elite line mate. So yeah, I'm a believer in streaming him. I agree with you on that, but I'm just a little skeptical about the staying power just because of how things have gone like the last three or 4 years for him.
Yeah, no, it's always the same thing, but I'm with you. Like, I think when you're looking for DFS value, I think any interaction with the three big boys, whatever line you want to call them, I think you have to hop on that no matter what the opponent is. So I'm all over Haula, just like you, Pete.
So the Minnesota Wild, right? Last we talked, we were a little down on Cam Talbot. Turns out he's injured. So Kaapo Kähkönen is going to get the start on Thursday, expected. And depending on the severity of the Talbot injury, this could be them getting force-fed, right? Kaapo Kähkönen, where Evason's been hesitant to play him, they'll have to play him. And it could be the point where, you know, the point of a turning point where he takes over for good. Like that's the ceiling that you're talking about with Kaapo Kähkönen. So are you a believer in Kaapo Kähkönen, Nick, being the top rookie goalie at season's end because of this opportunity that he's about to get right now?
Oh, for opportunity, I like to call this with Kaapo Kähkönen. Having said that, like I was thrown off course a bit in the offseason when I thought for sure Seattle was drafting this guy. And then I found out more about the numbers and the analytics, and they're not spicy and people don't like them. But all I see when I see Kaapo Kähkönen is a quality netminder. And so I am a believer, Pete. I do think Kähkönen has the opportunity. Cam Talbot, you know, has been up and down the last little while, as we documented in last week's podcast or earlier this week's podcast. I think there's an opportunity at the very least to get into a potential tandem situation, which we expected the last couple of years with Kähkönen, and it hasn't been there. Dean Evason has showed his hand and it's been Cam Talbot all the way. But I think we're in the business of winning games. And if Kähkönen can go out there and continue to win and win and win, I think you continue to roll him out there. So Definitely an opportunity. Again, that's the big word I would use in this situation. But ultimately, I think as we've seen in the past, they love Cam Talbot and all the power to them. But my expectation is Kakanen's going to get a go in the next couple of years. So let's see what he has here, Pete. I'm excited.
Well, he's already gotten it going this year and last year combined, right? And I think a little touch the previous year, he's somehow still rookie eligible. He's 25.
18 years
later. He's 23, 11, and 2. I mean, not many goalies around the league combined have a winning percentage that high. Only a 906 this season. Last year went on a 9-game winning streak. But then when Talbot came back, there was one game where he allowed like 8 goals or something.
I remember
completely
that game.
Shelled. So
yeah,
maybe a little boom or bust here, but we threw him into the top 25 goalie rankings based on this opportunity ahead of him. And then in the forward group for Minnesota, this might be even more exciting, right?
I love
Matt Boldy, the left wing, and Marco Rossi both getting recalled at the same time and expected to make their NHL debuts here. I'm more excited about Rossi, but someone scooped him up in one of my leagues for fantasy. So I picked up Boldy because I needed a wing more than a center. So I'm taking a flyer on these guys in deeper leagues.
Why not? The breakdown on both these guys, of course, it looks like Rossi's going to center that second line with Foligno and Fiala and play on PP1 here to start against the Boston Bruins on Thursday night. Boldy will be on line 3 with my guy, Freddie Hockey, Freddie Gaudreau, and Brandon Duhaime, and he'll play on PP2. I'm with you. I think there's a bit of a higher ceiling, at least in my expectation, my projection right now with Marco Rossi, 9th overall in 2020. Boldy 12th overall in 2019. So they're parallel with each other. I think you look at the internal numbers in the American Hockey League, Rossi at 23 points in 21 games, 7 goals. But I just think the pedigree's there a bit more with Rossi, and I think there's a higher ceiling. So of the two, and I know you put that out on social media the last couple of days, I'm probably a bit higher on Rossi. How do you feel about those two? They're still two dynamic players and should definitely add the depth of this Minnesota team, Pete.
Yeah, with Rossi, I just think like, so the top left wing on the Wild is Kaprizov, and he's played really well with Hartman and also Eriksson Ek over the past couple of years. And of course, Zuccarello on the opposite wing is, they've been amazing. Zuccarello has been like a point per game player ever since Kaprizov joined the team, it seems, when Zuccarello's healthy. But I do foresee, no doubt about it, like maybe not this year, but maybe a year or two from now, like Rossi is going to be, Kaprizov just signed long term. Rossi, I think, will eventually be his centerman.
Agreed.
So that's the ceiling that we're talking about. In the meantime, Fiala has a low shooting percentage this season. He's already shown signs of popping off here in terms of scoring goals. Foligno's been one of the biggest steals in all of fantasy with his category coverage and his physicality. So Rossi, I'm really excited about him. He's the guy to go out and make room for, maybe even in a standard league, because this guy missed all last year because of COVID, but the previous year he led the whole OHL in points. So the ceiling is enormous with Rossi.
Massive ceiling. I love narratives. You know this. So can I use the word showcase? The trade deadline's March 21st. I think it's quite clear that Minnesota wants to be a contender. I think in our eyes, they're definitely an upper echelon team in the Western Conference right now. You need assets to make trades. Maybe they go after a Hurdle. Maybe they go after somebody like that. And I'm not sure Rossi's going to be in play, but maybe a Boldy. Like, I think you have to stockpile your assets. I think it never hurts, Pete, to showcase these guys at the NHL level, let teams have a look. So I only look at this as a positive development, not to mention, again, there is a need for Minnesota to play these guys right now because of all the injuries up front, right, and all over that roster for that matter.
Yeah, and Rossi's only 8% rostered, and Boldy, I believe, is a little bit less than that. So again, if you're in a standard league, you can wait and see how they do in their debut, but we went ahead and threw him into the top 200 overall rankings because more times than not, it's one of those prospects where you were disappointed. I was disappointed at the beginning of the season, right? He was supposed to be a top 10 rookie, a rookie sleeper that maybe could be in the Calder race. I'm talking about Rossi. So he started in the AHL. It was kind of a bummer, but I actually checked about a week ago and I saw him like, he's producing better than a point per game. I wonder if they're going to recall him soon. And sure enough, with Eriksson Ek banged up and Spurgeon banged up, they've had some room to play with, and they're moving towards the future here. That's the exciting thing about Minnesota. They were a great team last year, one of the best teams in their division, one of the most consistent teams this year prior to this little losing skid with Talbot playing hurt. But I think that they're one of the best teams out there, and they haven't even reached their full potential in terms of bringing everybody into the mix just yet. I could see this team down the road having Boldy and Rossi in the top six with Kaprizov and Fiala, and then having Kakinen be the starting goalie a year or two from now. So that could maybe even make them one of the single best teams in the whole league.
Yeah, bottom line, they're going to be scary. And for those of you who don't know the story about Marco Rossi, I think it obviously is having an impact as to why we haven't seen him. Like, I think if things were normal and he didn't go through everything he dealt with in the last year, I think there was obviously the potential he probably cracks the opening night roster. So right. If you had a chance to go read that story, it's pretty surreal. I think obviously he just feels blessed to even be here in this time and to be doing what he is at this level, making his NHL debut. I just wonder what you do when, you know, and it happens a lot, but two guys are going to make their debut simultaneously. I guess they're both out for the solo lap, right?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be, it's, you know, a road game, but there's going to be a lot of good vibes on both ends. I think the Bruins also think that they're, you know, I think it's also gives them another layer. Like if they're going to pursue another championship, I don't know that they have the depth to do that, but it's going to be a nice game, and two teams mid season getting a nice lift, a much needed lift, I would say. Huge injury news for the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, they lost a couple of guys like Nico Hischier's day to day, and Sharon Govich, since we last talked, is on the COVID list, but Dougie Hamilton, you know, he what broke his jaw or something,
yes.
Fractured his jaw.
Yeah.
So he's out indefinitely. So the in-house guy that has emerged the past few games is Damon Severson, or you could go outside the box and there are some good options elsewhere. What are you seeing on defense to replace Dougie Hamilton if you throw on him on IR or IR plus right now in fantasy?
Yeah, Severson scored a beauty the other night out of the box, by the way. The way he corralled the puck from Mike Hoffman a couple of years ago, the Eric Carlson pass, I was like, wow, I was like seeing double, but it was an amazing goal. I think you're right. He's the internal option. Externally, Jacob Chychrun could make his return or his debut or his return, I should say, to the Arizona lineup on Thursday night. So maybe you have a look there. Quietly, Josh Morrissey has started to produce the last little while, last five games, a goal and four helpers, one power play point. Of course, we know about the coaching change there. A guy we've pimped all season long, Pete, Alex Goligoski, five assists in the last six games. And then I think you maybe take a flyer on Jamie Drysdale, who potentially is starting to cook again with the Anaheim Ducks. I think he's going to go back and forth all season long with Kevin Shattenkirk. But obviously there's a high ceiling with a guy like Drysdale. You look at some of the youngsters on that Anaheim roster. So I think there is the potential for some short-term looks on the back end. Like, I know Brendan Dillon's and other guys been providing a bit of offense. A guy we both like in Vegas, Zach Whitecloud. I think that type of player it's got to be patchwork over the next little while until Dougie Hamilton can come back.
Wow, Nick, can you leave some meat on the bone for Pete? I mean, gee whiz. I mean, wow.
Do my homework.
You just listed a ton of names, Pete. Who do you have?
Well, I also like Whitecloud in the absence of Alec Martinez. He's putting up some nice points. He's got a great plus minus on the season. He's averaging about a half a point per game, which on defense will get you in the top 50 rankings this year. It's been that thin. But yeah, Ekholm's got four assists lately, past two games. Severson, like I said, 5 points in his past three games. So he was even getting it done before Hamilton went down. So that's a good sign. It's not just related. So maybe he has some staying power if he's used in a big role. And then, you know, Noah Hanifin's another one. I think we see a lot of defensemen on Calgary getting into the mix. I know they got beat pretty bad the other day by Florida, but they're still one of the better teams in the league, Calgary. They'll get another chance to redeem themselves against the Lightning on Thursday, potential high-scoring game. But yeah, Noah Hanifin has impressed me ever since Sutter took over, even the tail end of last year, right, Nick? Like, he improved. He was fantasy relevant down the stretch, and he might be the best out of those Flames options, all things considered, for category coverage compared to the hot and cold Rasmus Anderson. Oliver Shillington has been either amazing or non-existent this year. So there hasn't been much middle ground for him. So I would prioritize Hanifin if he's still available, but if he's not, I'd probably go with either Whitecloud or Severson.
Yeah, it just, again, it really lacks depth when you look at the waiver wire in fantasy hockey for blue liners. So I think, you know, I think you'd probably agree, like, the best strategy is patchwork, short-term looks. The guy cools down, you move on to the next guy. Yeah. Because it's tough, Pete, to replace a guy of the stature of Dougie Hamilton. Damon Severson is going to do his best. I think Ty Smith eventually gets a look on PP1. But that's tough. You know, New Jersey, just a team, Pete, where my expectation has been there the last couple of years. They just can't stay healthy. There's been bouts with COVID over the last couple of years. And suffice it to say, now with the Jonathan Bernier news out for the season, there's a ton of pressure on Mackenzie Blackwood, who already felt the pressure, and he's had an up and down start to this season. So in general, I'm curious about New Jersey. You look at that division, though, Pete, the Pittsburgh Penguins. I want to ask you this. Is this team legit? Are they for real? They're 19-8-5 as we speak. They've won 9 in a row, not to mention Evgeny Malkin hasn't played a game this season. I think we're looking at Jeff Carter, Kasperi Kapanen here in the fantasy world as must-ads right now with the imminent return of Malkin. And how about Brian Rust? You know, I love using GIFs on social media. He's like the, you know the walking man who's on fire? That's Brian Rust in two games. He's coming back. 5 goals, 3 assists, 8 points. That new look top line, Gensel, Crosby, and Rust have combined for 16 points in 2 games. This team's on fire, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, this team always deals with injuries every single year, but then other guys step up. And this year, it's included guys like Gensel and Rust who are, I mean, Rust has been, with his coverage of hits like the past year or two, has been one of the most underrated top level fantasy players. Like, you don't view him with that name value, but we both knew, right? We didn't know he would score 4-5 points in his first game back.
Contract year Russ, baby.
But like, we knew that he was underrated. And if there was any way he would be on your waiver wire, he would be a must-add player. Definitely check out Mike Sullivan, Penguins coach, on At the Rink with Dan Rosen and Sean Rourke. Definitely a good listen. And, you know, something that Sullivan year after year gets the most out of everybody there. And especially when Malkin comes back, Kapanen is going to play with him almost definitely at even strength. So yeah, you know, later stages, streamer on the waiver wire. I see a lot of people are picking him up right now, Kapanen, because you can see into the future a little bit.
Sullivan's the best in the business. I think there's no question about it, considering, I mean, Pete, I feel like this is the third year where everyone on the podcast is, the Penguins, they're on the downside of everything. And now look at them. I mean, 9 in a row, 9, Nick, 9. Dude, and the comeback, like, last night, that was nice.
Yeah, like that. And again, I don't know how much stock you can put in the coach, but Mike Sullivan down 3-1, Casey DeSmith hit the showers, Tristan Jarry off COVID, come in, and next thing you know, Pittsburgh wins that game. I don't think you can underlook, you know, situations like that. And certainly fan bases are going to get angry about everything we say on this pod, but Mike Sullivan has to be a front runner. Like, to me, he has to be the front runner for this Jack Adams Trophy. Just everything Pittsburgh has dealt with in this season to be where they're at. I remember in the preseason, guys, I'm sure you're right there along with me, we had Washington at Pittsburgh. Are these teams even making the playoffs? Well, I'm going to be a grown-ass adult and say, yeah, I'm going to admit that I was incorrect on both fronts.
Well, it's amazing. The Penguins have, you know, won 9 in a row, and they're still looking up in that division at a couple of teams like Washington, they're bitter rivals, and also Carolina, and the Rangers are like at the top of the league standings right now. So trying to predict, like last year, trying to predict the matchups in that division, if the Islanders are not able to make up ground and get in, are going to be anybody's guess. But it's really some of the best teams in the whole league are in that division. And that's why sometimes it feels hopeless as the Devils, right?
Like, yeah,
you have a couple of games looking good here and there, and then one guy bows out because of injury, and then, you know, they go off the rails again. And yeah, it's one of those things. But I think certainly a lot of questions going around about, you know, Brian Rust and, you know, how to get him on your roster. James, waiver wire James, actually asked me the other day, Patrick Laine or Brian Rust for the rest of the season. Our rankings say Brian Rust. I think he's the better overall player. We've talked about on previous shows Patrick Laine's goal scoring ceiling, but he doesn't have the category coverage that Brian Rust does. And
there's not
Rust
the center is, either.
Yeah, right. And Rust is now like, he's always on power play one. Even when Malkin comes back, he'll be on power play one. So very nice security blanket for him.
Yeah, and I wonder in general with Pittsburgh, like, I don't want to call this the last kick of the can, but I talked about contract years. They're out there left and right in that Pittsburgh roster. That's why I'm not surprised Rust is having the pop-off he is. He's in a contract year. So is Evgeny Malkin. So is Chris Letang. I don't know in this cap world how you fit with all of these three guys. Obviously, they love it in Pittsburgh. Obviously, Malkin and Letang have been there long-term, but I get that sense, that feeling, this current nucleus, it could be their last go of things here, Pete. And it's been an outstanding season, but they're a scary team. It's like every time I give up or turn the page on Pittsburgh, they turn it up on me. So I'm just going to sit back and watch the ride.
And it's also like, don't tell any of them that they're, this could be the end after this year, right? They're just enjoying every last second of it and playing some of the best hockey that they have in years. So it's been good to see that team be revitalized in the standings. I know they were the top seed in the division last year, but they've had a couple of straight first round exits, but it doesn't feel like it's going to be a first round exit this year, a little bit different. So the Penguins beat the Blues, who we've been hyping up for all their depth. And I know we mentioned it on the previous show, but it officially happened. Braden Schenn came back. So Schenn had a multi-point game in the loss for St. Louis. Yeah. He's one of eight forwards in our top 100 forward rankings from St. Louis. I don't know if I've ever seen that before from any team. I've seen six or seven when a team rolls a good third liner, but to actually have Buchnevich and Braden Schenn, you know, in second or third line roles is pretty insane.
Yeah, I'm just going to say we're going to be here in 6 months from now, and Pete and I are going to be like, I told you so, because we've been banging this drum for a while on St. Louis, Pete. I don't know why I'm drawing comparisons to the team that won the cup a couple years ago. They're heavy number one. They're strong defensively. The power play is pretty good, and they have depth out the rear end. Like, it's crazy. A guy goes down, next guy comes up. I think obviously they've benefited greatly from the evolution this year of Jordan Kyrou, who's been outstanding. Robert Thomas, especially in that top six. Then you have guys like Ryan O'Reilly. I think clearly the Buchnevich deal was worked in their favor. Obviously with Sammy Blais done for the season on Broadway, there's just a lot of depth. And I think that's not talked about enough, especially come playoff time, is the ability for a guy in the fourth line to move up to the first line without any significant drop off. And I think that's why the Blues were really successful a couple of years ago. I think that's why they've been really, really good so far this year. Even though they blew that game in Pittsburgh on Thursday where I was feeling them.
Yeah. And it says a lot about a team when you're missing so many different guys at different points and they all have chemistry with one another. You could have about four or five different combinations of a second line that would be one of the trending lines around the whole league. So, you know, that's that you can have that in your back pocket, right? I think they're learning things that can help them down the road when, you know, say like they played Colorado in the playoffs last year. If Colorado's top line gets shut down, they have no answers, I don't think, when the going gets tough. Yeah. But here, St. Louis, if the going gets tough, they got all these combinations to roll to, including heavy players, including, you know, like some youthful exuberance on the roster with some of these guys that were on the 2019 Cup team, like Kyrou and Thomas. Barbashev all playing third or fourth line at the time. Like one of those guys at one point or another the rest of the way, and even in the playoffs, they're going to be sniffing some top six action, because even when everybody's healthy, those guys are outworking everybody around them. So, and the players around them are not half bad. Like Ryan O'Reilly's getting outworked by like five different guys. He's being outperformed by like five or six different guys on his own team, and he's not a bad player in his own right either.
Pete, coming up this weekend, I can't wait to chill back, sit on my couch, watch some hockey, maybe watch a couple episodes of Cobra Kai season 4, which is outstanding, by the way. But I'm going to pour one out for our guy, Vladimir Tarasenko. I think this guy, deserves to be commended. Yes, he requested a trade that hasn't been taken off the table, but all he's done is helped everybody involved, including himself, his value, and the St. Louis Blues moving forward. And who knows when this deal goes down, but I think we don't give players enough credit in pro sports when they actually request a trade. You don't hear from them again. They do their thing and they raise their value, boys.
Well, quick question, Nick. Do you think they're going to trade Tarasenko this season? I don't see that happening any which way. I think he's happy at this point with the Russian players.
He's got playing like 10 with those Russian players on the team.
Yeah, I think he likes that.
Yeah, well, the request would have been pulled if he was really, really high. I think this is obviously a long-term look, but I think ultimately after this season, because if you're St. Louis, you can't make this trade right now, considering how good he's playing. Right. But I just wanted to bring up that I think he deserves all the credit in the world for just doing his thing, even though he probably wants out, or not even probably, he requested a trade. So good job, Vladdy. Boom. Yeah, do you want to play this game now, Pete?
Yeah, let's do it.
I've been fired up all day, boys. So I called it believer or non-believer. I got to talk to the crack staff over at the NHL. Maybe we think of better names for these games. I love bringing games to the table. So this is how it works. Pretty much, we're going to say if we believe in this player or we don't believe in this player. Generally, I like to pick players that were under 15% owned. I added one just for you, Pete, and that's where we'll start. You tell me if you're a believer or non-believer long-term. I'm talking, you know, long-term, not short-term, clearly. Alexi Lafreniere, left wing eligible, hovering around 30% last three games, 2-1, 3 points, 5 shots on goal. He's with Strome and Goodrow. Of course, Panarin's out in PP2. Is there staying power with Alexi Lafreniere? A question I'm sure you've been asked 3 billion times in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, we've answered it the same way, and he's just been like inconsistent because he's on the third line most of the time, but I do believe that there is still a really high ceiling for him. And I loved what I saw in the game against Edmonton.
He was good.
Flying around and doing an outstanding job, putting himself in good position and his line mates in good position. Barclay Goodrow has been just what the Rangers needed. Maybe it doesn't always show up on the score sheet like it has lately, but that guy could help them win a playoff series this year. Single-handedly with all his experience from recent years with the Sharks and the Lightning. So yeah, he's a special player in a depth role that makes all the difference for me. He's helping Lafreniere, you know, get his career on track here. And I still believe that there's a top six spot up for grabs. Like, I know Kreider has been amazing. The days of talking about Kreider playing on the third line are long gone. He's one of the best in the business in terms of top liners, category coverage, net front presence in the whole league at this point. But Lafreniere can play either wing. It's starting to build now, and hopefully they get Panarin back soon. I don't know if he's playing on power play one at any time soon, but at least on even strength, like Lafreniere could do something special in the second half.
That's a long answer, Peter.
I need the magic words. Do you believe or do you not believe, Pete?
I believe, yeah.
Okay. I don't believe short term, long term. I'm still there. I love Alexi Lafreniere. I think there's gonna be a period of time here in the NHL where he's gonna find his footing. But short term, I'm not believing in that. Should we move on to the second one, guys?
Let's do it.
We all good? Okay. Number two. We're closer to the 15% range now. I just had to bring a Lafreniere into the convo just for you, Petey. Alex Kerfoot, tri eligible center, left wing, right wing. Of course, he's been consistent on that line with Tavares and Nylander for, say, the last couple months. The last two games for Kerfoot, a goal and 4 assists, 5 points, a shorthanded point, and he's hovering around 12% ownership as we do this podcast. Do you believe or do you not believe, Pete?
I like a lot of things. I love that Leafs top six. I love his chances of staying there. I like the way that he performed last playoffs. Even when Tavares went down, he could shift back to center at any point, and he's tri-eligible in Yahoo. So,
yeah,
I don't have him on any of my teams. I'm checking right now. He's available actually in my deepest league. So if you give me a second, I'll probably go out there and add him right now for tri-eligibility.
It just comes down to schedule though, right, Pete? Like, that's the thing that's probably kept me away from some of these Canadian teams in general, is they're not playing very much right now, right?
Yeah, I think that the league is in a position where they have to reschedule some of these games because it's empty arenas right now, and they do have that break, right, in the old Olympic window where they can, you know, hopefully things get better and they could have more people in the seats. But, that's kind of like the predicament right now that's maybe negatively affecting some of these Canadian teams, why they haven't played so often. The Islanders as well, right? With everything they've dealt with, they drew the wrong straw, and they had this happen during their West Coast Canadian, including Seattle road trip, and the whole thing got canceled. So it's tough to have any Islanders on your team right now. But again, we're always looking rest of season, and there are very few teams safer than the Toronto Maple Leafs for the rest of the regular season. So I am a believer in Kerfoot.
Yeah, I called. I like that. Thank you for the magical words. And I think Toronto's a generational regular season team. I don't know if that's the banner you want. Maybe Nashville could make the banner for Toronto. I'm a believer as well. I crunched the numbers on Wednesday night. Kerfoot's over averaging around 50 or a 51 point pace right now for Alex Kerfoot, if you can believe it, who makes another return to Colorado on Saturday night.
Well, funny you mentioned Colorado, because I just mentioned I was going to pick somebody up. I hit the waiver wire. I dropped Val Nichushkin, who's been good this year when healthy, but he is not tri-eligible and he's not healthy right now. So he's dealing with an injury day to day. So I picked up Kerfoot for better position eligibility and same top six for one of the best teams in the league.
I need a theme song for this little game. The believe or non-believe. So the listeners can throw us some theme songs. I'm going with Cher. Do you believe in life?
And that was my inspiration. Don't ever sing again, number one. But number two, that was my inspiration. I came across a video on YouTube and Cher Believe was on there. That sounds like, hey, let's play believer and non-believer. So yes, if you can give us a theme song, please. Maybe some sponsorship if you're listening. Why not? Okay, number three. I foreshadowed it a bit earlier on. Craig Smith, former Nashville Predator, around 10% ownership, a goal and one assist in the last three games, 11 shots on goal. Nice, pretty comfy seat, if you ask me, Pete, playing with Marchand and Bergeron. Believer or non-believer, Pete Jensen?
He's been pretty solid through the years, regardless of lineup placement, especially when he was with Nashville. I would stream Craig Smith. He's behind Taylor Hall in the pecking order there. I'd stream him over like Howla, who we talked about earlier. But overall, I'm not a believer because I don't think he's going to stick on the top line for the rest of the season. And, you know, he's had some injuries and I just don't think he's consistent enough in terms of like lighting up the score sheet. He's a good overall player that will help the Bruins over the course of the season, regardless of where he's playing. But I'm not a believer of Craig Smith in fantasy because I haven't been for much of his career for one reason or another.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we talked about this earlier. I just don't know how long he sticks with these two guys while he is. I think you take a waiver look and a flyer, but outside of that, probably not. I did have some success in the second half last year with Craig Smith, but David Krejci was there. And as we know, he's no longer there. Okay, number four. I got two more. We got five here. Bob, go ahead.
I have nothing for you.
Oh, I thought
you were looking. I'm just looking at all the songs that have Believe in them. So just real quick, we got Cher, Believe. We got
Don't Stop Believing. There.
Don't Stop Believing. I don't think we could use the R. Kelly, I Believe I Can Fly. I don't think we can use that song. But so the listeners, throw some things out there. I Believe by DJ Khaled, right? Is that how you pronounce it? So anyway,
it's DJ. You don't know who DJ Khaled is?
Okay. So moving ahead, and then we got some listener questions we want to get to, and then we got some picks. So we gotta get the pace going here, boys.
Yeah, that's why Bob is the best producer in the biz, by the way. Number four, Maxime Comtois, around 6% ownership the last two games, two assists, two power play points, five shots on goal. We know Anaheim Pete is decimated, but he's playing with Lundstrom, I should say, and Troy Terry and PP2. I'm actually a believer in Max Comtois because I don't think he can be as bad as he was, you know, before the injury. So I think he picks up steam over the next little while. How do you feel about him?
He's definitely better than what he's been this season. He was one of the most the players I was most excited about on Anaheim coming into the year and going into last year. And he's put up good point rates scoring wise at many different points during his cup of coffee in the NHL and then like his longer stay. But I'm just worried when Getzlaf comes back from COVID protocol and Zegras comes back, like he'll probably be a third liner. So unless maybe they trade like Raquel before the deadline or something and he could get back into the top six, I'm not a believer just yet in Comtois. It would be a player in a super deep dynasty league that I would maybe consider if there's nobody else, you know, there's very little out there on the waiver wire and you could buy low on him in the grand scheme of things. But in standard leagues, even most keeper leagues, I'm not picking up Comtois just yet. Wait and see.
Lastly, so after pimping Igor Sharangovich for the last 5 days, the next day he ends up on the COVID list, unfortunately, which opened up the door, Pete, for Thomas Tatar to play with Bratt and Hughes. And so the last four games in general, in total, two goals, one assist, one power play point. He's under 5%. I think this is a really good flyer look right now. Until Tatar shows me a bit over a longer period of time, I can't roster him long term.
he's been good regardless of where he's been, except for when he was in Vegas for that little stint and he couldn't even crack the lineup. But different seasons in Montreal, he had, you know, he was like their leading scorer at one point. And of course, back to like his days with Detroit, like there's a good track record there. So I think he's probably been itching to play on a top line or top six role again. And it was a sneaky signing by the Devils to do that, because now they're still equipped to perform fantasy wise, even when guys are missing from their lineup. So, you know, I'm not a huge believer in Thomas Tatar, but I wouldn't be surprised if he goes on a heater and for the next week or two wins you your matchup. So high ceiling in the short term, but not someone that I'm hanging on for the rest of the season.
There you have it. The first and probably last division, or the last time we'll do this one.
I liked it. I liked it. Not the last.
Addition is the word I was looking for until there was marbles in my mouth. But yeah, I like it too. Believer and non-believer, Nick Elberga and Pete Jensen. Okay. Listener questions, Instagram. We all love you. The big news on Thursday, aside from Boldy and company and Rossi making their debuts, Nikita Kucherov, Pete, could be coming back for Tampa. We talked about it. The last little while, I think the buy low ability and the window is closing, obviously, in an Andre Palat. But we got a question. Do you think Kucherov will become a top five or top 10 fantasy player for the rest of the year? I know where I stand on this. I think Kucherov's a premier talent, man. I think he's a top five fantasy file. So I'm all over him. How do you feel?
Yeah, certainly top 15 if you want to be cautious. But,
yeah,
you know, he has a good game here or there, and he'll move ahead of all those Barkov, Huberto, Sebastian Aho, right? Those type of names. We already slotted him in as the most valuable skater on the Lightning, ahead of Braden Point, ahead of Steven Stamkos, who's been awesome this year. And he's just slightly behind Vasilevsky, but now Hedman is back in the top 20. So once again, you're looking at like five Lightning players, the big five, all in the top 20 of the fantasy rankings, like they were at the beginning of the season. So we've come back full circle here. So yes, I'm very high on Kucherov to be a top 10 player from this point, whenever he comes back, to the end of the season. I think it's a near lock as long as he doesn't get injured again.
You know, my dark horse team is for Jacob Chychrun.
I don't know, the Lightning,
the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I'm not just trolling, because they always seem to get really, really good players. Doesn't matter
their
value. That contract's insane, by the way. Like, every team should be in on Chychrun, but that stems the question from Tanner. Time to scoop up Chychrun off the wire ahead of trade rumors. Well, number one, Tanner, he's expected back in the next couple games, could be as soon as Thursday night for Arizona. And number two, like, I think, yeah, we talked about it in the last couple weeks. I think obviously there's some value in Chychrun, and further value if he does get dealt here. So I like Chychrun a lot. I know it's been a tough year, but rest of the season, I think there's value there, Pete.
Yeah, Chychrun is somebody that I think is one of the elite players in the league. And if the direction of the Coyotes franchise is to trade guys and maximize value and bring a lot in return, even more picks than they have for the coming year, and maybe some prospects, I mean, you could get into a bidding war where they really bring back something that they can work with for the years to come. So like, right, like, picture trading for an elite player on most teams. It would be unthinkable, because why would anybody trade, especially at the defenseman position, a player of Chychrun's caliber? But it goes into the direction of the franchise. So yeah, Chychrun, I would pick him up right now. It's a great opportunity, because, you know, he was better than he was earlier in the season when he had the horrible plus minus. Prior to his injury, he was actually heating up. So he might be like Kessel, what we were saying. Like, produce for you now and then take an enormous jump into the top 15 rankings among defensemen if and when he gets traded to a contender.
We're believers. We're just continuing along with that game. Last one. What to do with Elias Pettersson? I've been banging this drum all season long, so I got to stay. My hope, my aspirations are a mighty second half for here for EP 40, Pete.
Yeah, so he's on the COVID list, I saw last night. Yeah. So it's tough, right? Like, he was a great buy low candidate. We were keeping the faith with him, and now another setback for him. Vancouver has the wherewithal at center to overcome his absence. And when he comes back, like, it'll be a great chance to, you know, it feels like it feels like hopeless right now for him and his fantasy value, but I could see him igniting here down the stretch. So no time is better to buy low on him. And you might not even have to give up that much. You could probably trade Chandler Stephenson to get him. And then if Stephenson dips down once Eichel comes back, it could really be a home run for you. That's why I've been hesitant up until now to rank Stephenson ahead of Elias Pettersson, just for that reason. It seems too obvious.
You hit the nail on the head. I think as a fantasy manager out there, folks, you got to think both sides of the ledger. I think, you know, in my opinion, it's better to buy low than sell low on a guy right now in Elias Pettersson. All right, Pete, let's wrap here, but let's get to some bets. I'm not sure if you have a couple, but I always have some. Thursday, I'm looking at the San Jose Buffalo over. Sabres haven't played since Saturday, and the Sharks have surrendered 14 goals in the past two games. So over six on Thursday. Friday, Washington at St. Louis, potential Stanley Cup preview. Who knows? The Blues are going to be hungry, I think, after blowing that game against Pittsburgh. So give me the Blues money line. And then Saturday, I talked about it earlier, Toronto at Colorado. I'm going to keep with the angle of being hungry and motivated. Colorado got embarrassed last time around in Toronto. I think it was 9-3. So give me the Colorado money line in that game.
I definitely like the storyline of Gerard Gallant going back to Revenge. Vegas. I love the way the Rangers are playing, whether or not they get Panarin back anytime soon. I like their ability to go in there on the road, especially Pacioretty's out longer term now. Stone still day-to-day. Leonard still day-to-day. So keep an eye on those injury situations for Vegas. But really like what the Rangers are cooking. And that motivation on Gallant's end, the team will be motivated as well. So get in on that. In the props market, definitely look at a player, Andre Palat, whether or not Kucherov comes back. It doesn't matter. Even if Kucherov sits out another night, there are a few guys hotter than Palat on the Lightning or in the whole league. He's got 15 points in his past 14 games.
Contract year, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, we were a little down on him before. We don't know if he'll come back to the Lightning, but yeah, he's playing for that paycheck next year, even if it's with someone else and he can't keep winning cups. But he's been a valuable piece for them, and he seems to be like really heating up right now.
I'll give you one for tonight. It's tough to take the Devils as a sizable favorite, but I think tonight at home, minus 150 or so against Columbus. I like the way they've been playing. And go listen to Jack Hughes with Darren Millard on the Chirp. Plus, we had Dave Lowry, head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, talks about how he deals with coaching his son, Adam Lowry. So some good stuff in this week's episode of the Chirp. But the Devils, this is for David Satriano, the Devils tonight lay it at home at the Rock. They beat Columbus.
Couple of good games on Saturday. Like I'm looking at Maple Leafs, Avalanche, of course, that Kerfoot, Kadri storyline. Kadri, you know how good McKinnon has been. He's got points in 11 straight games, and he's, you know, he's up in among the league leaders in points per game, but I can't believe that Nazem Kadri on his own team is still ahead of him in points per game. It's the two Oilers guys, McDavid and Drysdale, and then Kadri third and McKinnon fourth. McKinnon has a point in all but one of his games this season. I know he's missed time because of injury and COVID and stuff.
He's cooking.
But he literally has a point in like every single game this year except for one.
Yeah, watch out for Colorado. I couldn't believe I got Kadri 200th overall. I was all over him, as you know. That's I love nuts. Guys in contract years. I had Kadri around the 100 mark in my preseason ranking, so maybe higher than some people. But I think there's value, obviously, in Colorado. Kadri's been an unbelievable story. And I just wanted to add as well, like I think it's buy time clearly on Darcy Kemper as well, Pete. He's won six in a row here.
Six in a row, and I think he's 13-2-0 in his past 15 or 16 games.
They're pretty good, Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's not even really he doesn't have a great save percentage on the season. No. It's not like he's a 930 save percentage. He's more like 910, 912, big picture. So a lot of room for improvement too. And that's what Waiver Wire James was saying. I mean, a lot of us were high on him in the offseason and his chances of winning the Vezina. We were talking about Colorado's likelihood to get back in the President's Trophy race. Maybe it's likely that Kemper gets into the Vezina race just because of his wins volume alone. A couple shutouts could be the icing on the cake for him to get back into the Vezina top three.
Shesterkin, Saros, Vasilevsky may want a word with you, Pete, on that front.
Yeah, definitely watch out from behind you because because Kemper's rolling right now.
Yeah.
We know he could bring the efficiency too. So good stuff, Nick.
I'll bring a new game for you next week. Okay, guys.
Yeah, you're bringing the creativity. I love it.
The goods.
So definitely follow us at the Golden Muzzy, at NHL Jensen, at Air Checked for Bobby, at NHL Fantasy, Twitter and Instagram. Hit us up with your questions anytime. Nick stays up late. I do too.
I don't sleep.
Neither do I. I have my son plus hockey, so that equals not much sleep. So anyway, we'll be back with you Monday, NHL Fantasy on Ice, Waiver Wire Week 13. Hit us up with your questions in the meantime, and we'll see you on the other side. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.